This is the CPC Podcast, Episode 4, for August 26th, 2018, Exalted Humility. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. This week, we welcome Reverend Bo Lewis to our pulpit. Reverend Lewis is an honorably retired member of the Presbytery of Arkansas. At the end of the podcast, I'll bring you more news and notes from CPC. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Reverend Bo Lewis.
Some years ago, we were living in Little Rock, and I had volunteered to help serve the noon meal at the Stew Pot at First Church, which is a great ministry to street people to serve the noon meal. On this particular day, I was ladling out the stew, and I thought I'd given a normal portion to one rather rough-looking client, but he loudly demanded, "Give me some more. God said to feed the poor." Well, I hate to admit this, but my first thought was, who are you to preach to me, you bum? I'm the one who tells people to feed the poor. Don't question my good intentions, especially here in front of everybody. Well, when I read today's passage, I know who I am in it. I have no doubt what character I would relate to in that moment of anger. I was the Pharisee. This parable is about as straightforward as you can get. Luke tips us off in the first verse. It's aimed at those who are sure of their own goodness and look down on everybody else. I like that translation, look down on everybody else. But the scholar Fred Craddock tells us not to over-glamorize the tax collector. The tax collector, the publican, was a sellout. He was a sellout to the Romans. He collected taxes, and he took a cut, sometimes a little more of the cut than he really deserved. That was his pay. Of course, everybody hated him. Now, you might imagine the feelings. Think about your feelings about the IRS along about March, April, sometime then. Think about those feelings and then multiply them by 10. And you may have some idea about how the folks felt about the tax collector. And don't downgrade the Pharisee, Craddock warns us. He took his religion seriously. He fasted twice a week and he tithed on everything, on his whole income. Now, how many of us can make that claim? The parable centered on the condition of the two men at that moment and how different they were. The Pharisee felt like he had earned God's favor. I've done all this stuff. I've earned his favor, having done so through his own righteous efforts. He could look down on others who were not so virtuous, especially a social outcast like his fellow worshiper, the tax collector. On the other hand, all the tax collector had was his need for God's mercy. He knew he was a corrupt traitor to his people. His conscience told him that, the contemptuous looks that his fellow Jews gave him as they paid their blood money taxes, that all confirmed it. If there's anyone to be pitied, though, it's the Pharisee. Not condemned, but pitied. The tax collector is further down the road of growth to faith than is the Pharisee. All that is required by God is the need of his mercy. That's what Jesus is telling us here. Both wanted the same thing, to get right with God. One knew his need, The other was cut off by his own sureness, his own self-righteousness, his own arrogance. Jesus says that the publican, the tax collector, was justified by God, and the Pharisee went away unjustified. Then Christ sums it up with that reversible saying, "The exalted shall be humbled, and the humbled shall be exalted." So, what does this say to us? As usual, Jesus is getting at that secret part of us, the part we'd rather no one else know about. He looks right into our souls. This part of us is subtly corrupted, and it may start out, or can be certainly corrupted. It may start out with the statement, "I'm not so bad. I see a lot of other people who do worse than I do. At least I pay my taxes. I try to be a good citizen. I try to be nice to other people." But when we go this route, there can be a sneaky kind of shift. Maybe we don't even notice it. It's a shift to the assertive. "I'm a darn sight more responsible than my neighbor, Fred. He lets his lawn grow up." We're talking about in the children's sermon, he lets all the trash pile up and it gets out in the street and the dogs eat it. "He lets his lawn grow up. He never trims his shrubs. He never goes to church, of course. Lots of times I'll be leaving for church and he's in his driveway washing his car." Well, that's all right, because I know secretly he'll burn in hell for it. While he's burning in hell, I'm enjoying my time in the ivory palace. Well, can't you hear the echoes? "God, I thank thee that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers," or even like this tax collector. In the Baptist Sunday school of my youth, they used to give you a gold star. Maybe some of you have been through this in your youth. If you were on time, there were 10 categories. If you were on time, or if you brought your Bible, or if you knew a memory verse, or if you were staying for church. Well, a lot of times I got 9 out of 10, because my folks never went to church regularly. They'd drop us off for Sunday school. I don't know what they did, but they'd pick us up later. Now, that was before, I have to say, before we moved to Baton Rouge and joined the Presbyterian Church. Then they got very active in the church and took it seriously. But not in those days when we lived in a small Louisiana town. Now, this is not a knock against the Baptists. The Baptists were my mother church. I honor them. They taught me more Bible verses, frankly, than the Presbyterian Church ever did. But, and they do a lot of good. I'm not picking on the Baptists, not at all. And it's not against giving children incentives, but it did teach me to expect something for routine religious duties. Sometimes to this day, I expect to get an imaginary gold star when I feel like I've done something good. It's there in my mind. Always 9 stars, not that 10th, but anyway. Confession and throwing ourselves on the mercy of God heals us of our subtle self-righteousness, and it's an affliction we all have to some extent or other. We're all tarred by the same brush. Jesus tells us, or as the old prayer book says, we have all sinned and fallen short. Compared to God's righteousness, we all come up very short, and we're all in the same boat, no matter who you are. And as with the Pharisee, we get into trouble when we get into comparison. comparisons. Our advertising always tells us, this is the best, superior, blah, blah, blah. And we kind of buy into that in a way. I want to be the best. I want to compare myself to other people. We're on the wrong path there. If we get Christ's words are a jarring reminder of our real status. And as with all parts of the gospel, the word is freedom. We are freed from the chains of having to justify ourselves to ourselves, justify ourselves to others, justify ourselves to God. We can't ever do it on our own. When I was in seminary, our Christian education professor, Dr. Rachel Hinderlite, a marvelous lady, she was the first female ordained as a pastor in the Presbyterian Church U.S. You know, the old Southern Church before we united in 1983 or so. First one, a marvelous person. But anyway, she told us that one of the most popular books for using with 6 to 10-year-olds was called The Broken Vase. Y'all may have heard of it. The children loved this book. It told of a young girl who broke her mother's favorite vase while her mother was away. Horrified by what she had done and unable to face her mom, she hid the broken remnants and she lied to her mom. And the more she lied, the worse she felt. Finally, the little girl couldn't stand it anymore. She broke down and tearfully confessed her mistake. But rather than the stern scolding she expected, her mother gathered her into her arms and assured her that she loved her, and she was proud that the little girl had confessed. The girl had to buy a new vase, but she didn't mind. She was renewed in an even stronger relationship with her mother. She knew about the humble being exalted. When have we broken a vase, and where do we turn? Do we strike out in self-righteousness like I did? Who do you think you are, you bum? Well, in my mind. Or do we look for the gold star to prove to others how good we are? Look at all the good stuff I do. Do we trot out our virtue and condemn our neighbor for his Sabbath activities and cleaning up his Mercedes? Or do we bring our naked, hurting souls to our Father and confess who we really are and ask for his forgiveness? Our response makes all the difference in the universe. It's the difference between lonely, alienating, miserable humiliation and the fresh, powerful, liberating, life-giving exaltation of God's forgiveness. He who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let us pray. Creator God, forgive us when we exalt ourselves, and grant us your gracious mercy when we humble ourselves in Jesus Christ. We joyfully pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Bo Lewis for filling our pulpit this week. Next week on the podcast, Reverend Timothy Reeves, pastor at First Presbyterian Church, Stuttgart, Arkansas, will be filling our pulpit, and we look forward to hearing from him. In other church news this week, our church office was notified that our former pastor, Reverend David Gallagher, passed away on August 12th. The family asked that in lieu of flowers, donations be made to Hope Hospice of New Braunfels, Texas, or the First Presbyterian Church of New Braunfels. Information is available on our social media channels. Registration is now open for Junior High Youthquake. Youth in grades 6th through 9th are eligible for this trip. The trip will take place on September 28th and last through Sunday, September 30th. The cost of the trip is $95, but scholarship opportunities are available. For more information, contact the church office or me, Zach Cosner. That's going to do it for this week's podcast. You can find us 24/7 on the web at centralprespb.com. You can also find us on all your favorite social media channels at username centralprespb. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. I hope you have a great week.